chatting with you.
Blog Talk Radio.
We got started right.
Are you a veteran, police officer, firefighter, doctor, nurse, or teacher? If so, you qualify as one of Ron Siegel's VIP heroes, and we have rewards up to $5,000 or $10,000 when you buy, sell, or refinance a home with one of the Ron Siegel Radio partners. As one of the heroes, real estate agents will rebate part of their commission, lending partners will give a credit at closing, the title company has special published rates, and many other service providers have incentives too. All you need to do is call Ron Siegel Radio at 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990. Or visit VIPHeroProgram.com. Just think about what you will do with all the rebates and incentives from the partners of Ron Siegel Radio. Just call us at 800-306-1990 so we can show you our appreciation for your service.
Are you earning a safe, secure 10-plus percent return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564. Complete a 3-minute complimentary survey and the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Are you currently renting a home? Do you like...
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries. As we discuss current events, financial market, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media. This is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family, your business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Before we get into our intriguing content this morning, let me remind you that within every market there are solutions. You just need trusted guidance. And if you ever have any more finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly at 800 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team, when it comes to developing a financing plan, a plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference. 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. Celebration time on this fine morning. Frozen Custard Day. Rita's. I don't know if you've got a Rita's near you. They're the one that I see most frequently. It's frozen custard out there. I hope you enjoy some. I've tried it a couple times. Haven't been a big-time fan. But, hey, it's always worth another shot. We'll keep on trying. Happiness Happens Day. International. I'm sure that we'll find a lot of cat lovers out there for International Cat Day. Just a thought there. I am sure that we will see some folks out there looking for International Cat Day today, checking out the markets. What's happening in the markets today? Well, let's take a look there as well for you. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 19.21. Oil up $1.24 a barrel. And the U.S. Treasury down just ever so slightly, the yields being down ever so slightly. One of the things we're going to chat about quite a bit today will be, did you miss the opportunity, the window of opportunity to get that great interest rate, those great rates that have been out there on the market? So we're going to chat about that a little bit later in the broadcast today. We'll get there. Today, economic news coming out. We will see what happens when Mr. Trump comes out with his economic plan. I'm sure it's going to be radically different than what we have seen recently and what we should probably expect to come out from Mrs. Clinton. The idea between the big differences between the two plans, pretty simple. The idea being that Donald Trump's plan, it seems everything he talks about has to do with incentives. And we're going to chat a lot about incentives at the end of this week. We're going to be chatting with Chris Murray, Anaheim City Council, and one of the representatives from a political action committee, SOAR. And they've gotten involved in some incentives, or they've been lobbying for some incentives recently. We're going to chat about, is it a good idea for the government to provide incentives for what they want to have accomplished, or do you think that the businesses will do that on their own either way? Is it just a waste of taxpayer dollars? So we will chat about that. But one of the concepts that apparently Mr. Trump is going to come out with is a moratorium on new financial regulations. I just heard this statistic. There's over 600 financial regulations that have come to pass during the Obama era. 600 financial regulations. Now, the number that I just heard that went with that was that it costs business about $100 million per financial regulation, costs our economy $100 million per financial regulation. 600 million, and add that into, or 600 million, 100 million times 600 regulations. It's about $60 billion, if I did the math right. There's a lot of zeros in that. But I think it's about $60 billion of economic impact on all those regulations. Now, do we need them? Probably some of them we need. Do we need all of them? My guess is we probably don't need all of them. And maybe that's where the issues are coming from. Maybe that's why our economy is so anemic. Maybe that's why we're not creating the jobs that we had hoped to be creating in this economy, is because the regulations coming out of Washington are so burdensome that business just does not want to get involved. That's a big issue that we don't want to ever talk about. The country doesn't want to talk about the idea that, yeah, there's money on the sidelines and business doesn't want to put that money to work, but why? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that businesses, people that are in business, their goal is to make money. Why did they start a business in the first place? if they had no intent of making money. Well, the issue is they have a double-edged issue there. Number one, yes, they want to make money, they want to profit, but they also don't want to give up too much of it. They get a lifestyle, and successful business owners are not going to give up the lifestyle. They've worked for it. So what do? Back on growth. They cut back on borrowing. They cut back on spending. That's how they deal with these issues in a business environment. The owner is not going to give in no matter what you try to do. No matter how much regulation comes out, business owners are not going to give up their lifestyle before it hits you and me as the downline, so to speak. Think about that. I've shared this many, many times. I've got a friend of mine who owns a business. It's a specialty type business. A lot of his family works for the company, but they also have other employees. He made it very, very clear. Now, he gave his employees a great, great benefit. He paid for 100% of his employees and their family's health care. He said, if Obamacare comes in, it's going to cost us so much money that I will end up canceling all of health care and pay the penalty. Now, who does that benefit? It's not going to affect his lifestyle. So when the government came out and said, you've got to have health care for everybody, his result or his solution was, no, I don't. There's an alternative. I'll pay the penalty. And who ends up paying the bill? Well, the bill comes out, and it's getting hurting the employees. The employees pay that. It didn't hurt his lifestyle at all. So one of these things that's coming out, I think it's great, the idea that one of Mr. Trump's ideas or his plans is, you know, something, either get rid of, cut, or minimize some of these restrictions. Think about all the coal miners that by design, the Obama-Clinton administrations, they decided they did not want them to be in business. So we went from 200,000 coal miners employed to now I think the number is closer to 40,000. What happened to all the rest of them? Well, they're all having to move. They're losing their houses. They're not able to support their families, all by design of the administration. Amazing. Speaking of administration, how about spending? Now, I think that all of us can agree. Our veterans' affairs, our veterans deserve every medical benefit that they need and want. But and not to have all these waiting times. $20 million spent on artwork is what a report coming out of Cox Media in Washington, D.C. $20 million on artwork for the Veterans Administration. Holy cow. Art consulting and restoration services from fiscal years. $20 million. Wonder what they could have done with that. Included $21,500 for a 27-foot artificial Christmas tree in Ohio, $482,000 for a rock sculpture, and $115,000 for art consultants at the VA in Palo Alto, $670,000 for two sculptures for a Palo Alto facility dedicated to serving blind veterans. $670,000, $610,000 for artwork at a new facility in Puerto Rico, $168,000 for the Biloxi, Mississippi healthcare centers. Unbelievable. How about getting some health care for these people instead of artwork? And I wonder if there's any correlation or any favors being played with who's getting the contracts for this artwork. Unreal. Oh, I got to get off my soapbox. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, buying remains 36% cheaper than renting. How millennials can improve their credit scores. Reverse mortgages. Dispelling the myths. All that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us at facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it today on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The real-time real estate segment today being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PEAR 79564, PEAR to 79564. One of the real estate professionals will reach out to you and get you the true equity position of your home. Buying remains 36% cheaper than renting. Remember, that's a national statistic, 36%. The lowest place in the country, the area where, and I'm going to go, let me get back up. I should give you the foundation here. This is from a rent versus buy report from Trulia, and they explain that home ownership remains cheaper than renting with a traditional 30-year fixed rate mortgage in the 100 largest metro areas in the United States. Numbers actually show that the range is an average of 5% less expensive right here in Orange County, California, all the way up to 46% in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas, and 36% nationwide. Recent study by Go Banking Rates looked at the cost of renting versus owning a home state level and concluded that in 30 states, it is actually a little or a lot cheaper to own, represented by the two shades of blue in a map that we're going to post right on Ron Siegel Radio on Facebook. Nationally, the rates would have to rise to 10.6%. Interest rates go up to 10.6% for renting to be cheaper than buying. And rates haven't been that high since 1989. Today, as you know, we're at 3.43% is the Freddie Mac Mortgage Market Survey rate that was just released last week on Thursday. That's Freddie Mac's Mortgage Market Survey report. And I share that with you all the time. I like to give you that information just because I one of the biggest conversations I have with folks is I don't know that I'm ready to buy yet. And it becomes somewhat interesting, an interesting conversation, when you hear people say I'm paying $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month in rent and I'm not ready to buy, or I can't find that anything that I want to buy. Now, you have to run. One thing I want to stress is when you are buying is a combination issue. It's not meant to be short term. But what you should be doing is looking at a strategy. And the idea of looking at a strategy really means knowing where you want to go. I had a conversation last week, and the conversation went, we're looking at buying the house that we're already in, the condo that we're already in. We understand it's a starter, but we want to have it for about a year or 2 years, and then our idea is to get something bigger, or maybe even to keep this, rent it out, and buy something larger. And it's like, wow, how refreshing. Somebody's got a plan for what they're really looking for, and it makes sense in their household decision-making, their financial planning. Because I also had a conversation last week. I had a listener call me and say, you know something, Ron, I want to put together a plan so that we can buy a house in about a year from now. And I said, okay, where are you living now? I'm renting. I'm gonna re-sign my lease, and I'm gonna continue renting, and I'll buy next year. Well, why are you gonna continue renting? Well, because I can't find what I really want. Well, can you find the property that you're renting? Yes. Have you looked for that exact same configuration, the same characteristics in a condo or a townhouse? Well, no, I haven't done that. Well, why not? And you get this blank stare, because there are a lot of people that will go out and they're going to look into the idea getting a two-bedroom apartment and leasing that for a year, paying $24,000, $25,000, in some areas as much as $30,000, $36,000 in rent. Yet they don't want to buy. if they looked at that exact same property in a condo, they might find that same property in a condo at, let's just use $300,000. And I'm looking at $300,000. If you can find a condo, and again, a two-bedroom, something small that looks just like an apartment, and just use a hypothetical number with a minimal down payment, a very minimal down payment, using an FHA loan, you're going to be looking at about $1,600 in principal, interest, and the mortgage insurance. $1,600 principal, interest, and the mortgage insurance all included in that. Now, let's think about that. It's probably going to be even less than that. At the end of the year, the likelihood is on that $300,000, let's say it's a worst-case scenario, maybe that goes up 5% this year. Maybe it's 4%. That means you've got $12,000 in appreciation, and you've put out for your housing expense, let's just call it, I don't know, let's do the numbers together. Maybe that'll be an interesting scenario. So if we have a $300,000 condo, and let's say just hypothetically that we've got some property taxes, I'm going to use a basic number. We don't always use actual numbers many times. But you can use a basic number here of 1.25%, 1.25. So let's think about this. You've got $300. You've got another maybe $50 or $40 a month in insurance. So you're going to take all of these numbers together, and you're going to say, okay, I've got the payment itself. You're going to then have to deal with your mortgage insurance because we don't have a lot of money. And I get it. But let's just take a look, and we're going to say the mortgage insurance, because it's an FHA loan, we're going to only do 3.5% down. We may be able to find another property that makes more, so that we can do a down payment assistance on. Okay, so that's another option that is in there. You got to have a great real estate professional, because otherwise you may find out that you're not going to get they can help you with dealing with the negotiations and maybe getting your costs covered. So let's think about this. Before the tax benefits, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, mortgage insurance, you're going to probably be talking about somewhere around $23,000 for the year. $23,000 for the year, and if you take the same amount of money and look at rent, that's $1,900 a month in rent. They balance out. Now, we're still going to get the tax benefit. And think about this. You have three. Remember, we talked about this. Your housing cost, this is where the number really gets exciting, is if you get, say, let's just say you have a 5% appreciation. So if we take that $23,000 less the 5% appreciation on the property, it's getting you $7,600, $7,700 for the entire year for your housing expense, $641 a month after we assumed appreciation. Now, you can't guarantee the appreciation numbers. We don't know what'll happen. You can't make guarantees on these things. But we can just look at history. We can look at what the numbers have been in the past. But think about that. You've got $23,000 in cost of living, your housing, versus what it might have been otherwise. I don't know if you find a $2,000 a month place, that breaks even, and now you've got $12,000 or $15,000 in appreciation, which is better for your family. Now, that is exactly the reason, precisely the reason, that when we look at a homeowner's net worth versus a home renter's net worth, we're able to see that the homeowner's net worth is 45 times greater than the renter. 45 times. Why? Well, the renter gets a bunch of receipts at the end of the year. The owner, in this case, on a $300,000 condo or townhouse, very small. We're only looking for something that's the exact same size as the apartment you might have rented. Think about that concept. And they've got maybe $15,000 in appreciation, not counting the idea of getting the tax write-offs, the deductions, and being able to go and buy something else. Now, you do that for 3 years. Now you've got $45,000 in appreciation, and you can go and buy the next piece of property and maybe even keep this one. How do you do that? You refinance the first property, get the equity out of that property. It's going to cost, might cost you a little bit more money, but get the equity out of it and buy the next one. Now you've got two pieces of property that are appreciating side by side. So you got a $300,000 and a $400,000, $700,000 in real estate assets. Take that at 5% appreciation. Now you're getting $35,000. Again, hypothetical numbers. I don't know if they're going to work out that way. But you're getting $35,000 a year in appreciation. That's how you get your money to work for you. How do you make money in this country? Two ways. One is off of your own efforts, and one is to get your money working for you. That's called real estate or other investments. But real estate is probably the best because you can add leverage into it. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, how millennials can improve their credit scores. More misleading information on reverse mortgages. We'll talk about that. Maybe even a little debt consolidation or increasing your interest rate to lower your monthly mortgage payment. All that and more. You can reach us anytime. Call the off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. Your Credit Matters segment today being brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report. Most of the time they're wrong. I would say almost all the time they're wrong. The question being, what are you going to do about it? Credit Sanitizer has the solutions for you. How millennials can improve their credit scores is the question today. Many millennials, amazing, have shown that they prefer to pay for items in cash rather than run up large amounts of credit card debt. A report by Experian, July 2015, shows that young consumers use less credit than older shoppers in an attempt to remain out of debt, although this does cause some issues when they apply for loans later in life. Well, here's the issue. Number one, we need to get the credit going, but doing it in the right way. So how do you do it in the right way is the big issue. First off, you got to review your credit report on a regular basis, especially young people, because reports are going to be wrong. We know that they're all wrong. I've been looking at these reports for decades, and I've never, ever seen one that's completely accurate. I actually even saw a young couple that we couldn't put the wife or the girlfriend on the credit report, not because she had anything bad with her credit. It's because she didn't know enough to watch her credit and then also to establish credit. So she had a credit score in the 500s for no logical reason. It's just that the bureaus didn't know anything about her. They didn't have any scores. So what we had to do was we did the home purchase. They didn't get as good a interest rate as they might have because their ratios were not as good as they might have been. Because the boyfriend, great credit. Had she had any, it would have been wonderful. But here's the issue. When we look back, now they both have great credit because they followed some guidance. They started looking at the credit reports, seeing the errors on the credit reports because they're all going to have them. You need to look at Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Again, you need to know the FICO score, not the Vantage score. Again, I had a lady call me last week. We've got good credit in the mines, about a little over 700. My husband's a little under 700. We bought a home about a year ago. It's appreciated. Great. We want to get out of the FHA loan. Okay. Filled out the paperwork. We looked at their credit report. They gave us authorization to run credit. Looked at the credit report, and the husband's credit is barely over 600. They were looking at Vantage scores, not FICO scores, and it gave them misleading information. And it drives me nuts because that happens so, so frequently that people think they're getting true data or meaningful data because yep, the Vantage score is true. It's just not meaningful. Fannie Mae requires a FICO score with certain guidelines, certain procedures, policies, methods of getting that information. And if you're not doing it that way, it doesn't work. They don't accept it. So here's how some of these things work. Again, it goes back to planning. What we looked at for them was they're able to save enough money that it makes sense in their situation to do an FHA streamline refinance. Is it the best solution for them? No. It's the best solution today, but we have to do a multi-phase process. We need to look at we're going to get the FHA loan for them. It's not going to cost them anything. Be able to get all the fees and everything else covered. And they're going to save about $100, $150 a month. I have people say to me, Ron, is it worth it for $150 a month? And I look at them and I say, I don't know. You tell me. Do you want it? If you have a $100 bill in your pocket, do you have a $100 bill in your pocket? Well, no. Well, then I guess would you like to? Yeah. Well, here's the way. Or if they have a $100 bill in their pocket, I say, let me see it for a second. And they hand it to me, and I put it in my pocket. What are you doing? Well, if $100 doesn't mean anything to you, I'll take it because it means something to me. So let's think about that concept. So if you can do a streamline refinance, either on an FHA loan or an interest rate reduction loan, and you can save $100 a month without having any out-of-pocket expenses, does it matter to you? Does it mean something to you? Would you rather have you have the money or the bank have the money? You're the servicing company. I'm going to suggest once again, it's better in your pocket than somebody else's. Now, step two in this process, get a hold of our friends at creditsanitizer.com. Upper left button, there's a box there that you can get set up for a annual service, a one-year service program. You're probably not going to need one-year service. I see most of the time, 3 to 6 months, people get their scores up to where we can really do some good things for them. But go over there, get your credit report done, creditsanitizer.com, top left box. Once that happens, then you call over to our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. You tell them, hey, I just got my credit enhanced with creditsanitizer.com. My scores are now up to where it makes sense, and they'll work with you to manage this. I want to do a refinance of my house and get rid of the mortgage insurance because my scores are now high enough that I can really get a great rate for long term. Now, do I know what the rates are going to be 3 to 6 months from now? No. I've been thinking that they're going to go up, but we've been talking about that for about 4 years now. So the idea here is let's get the program started, because the sooner you start, I mean, here's another one of those issues. Did you buy a house with a home equity line of credit so you didn't have mortgage insurance? A lot of folks did that in the last few years. Pretty good strategy for the right people. Again, I'm one of those believers that there's no such thing as a bad loan product. There is bad applications of certain loan products. There were loan products that came out on the market for a specific purpose, very, very well intended, and they were great products, but they ended up being used by people that were not in the right, that fit that category, so the product was misused. That's what caused a lot of problems 10 years ago. The home equity line of credit, that usage. Now, the Federal Reserve is, I mean, most the markets are pricing in the financial markets that the Federal Reserve has a 50-50 chance of raising rates this year. Well, by definition, that means it's going to be in the next 3 to 6 months, right? Being that there's only 4 months left this year. So if that's the case, if you have a home equity line of credit, almost every one of them that I know about, they are tied to prime rate. Now, the 30-year fixed rate loan does not follow the Fed rate, but prime rate does follow the Federal Reserve. So as soon as that Federal Reserve hits where they increase interest, within a month, you're going to see an increase on your home equity line of credit payment. And if you're in that 10-year period where you're only paying the interest on it, your payment will go up. If you're in that period or getting close to that period when it recasts and you start getting the amortized payment, wow, your payment's going to really go up. Because not only is the interest going to be higher than what you've been paying recently, you're going to start amortizing that loan over a 20-year period or a 15-year period. So with that being said, interest rates, again, the Freddie Mac Mortgage Market Survey, right now 3.43% as of last Thursday. How about taking a look and seeing if numbers make sense to consolidate both the first mortgage and the home equity line into a new fixed rate mortgage? Now, will your payment go up? Well, most likely, yes. Why? Because you haven't been paying any principal on the home equity line of credit. So if you start amortizing that, your payment will probably go up a little bit. Now, the good side of it is where most of those are at 5.49 or 5.99% on those purchase money home equity lines of credit, it's going to go down to somewhere in the mid to high 3% range. So that'll be a great savings on one hand. And then you're going to start amortizing on the other hand. So maybe it'll wash out. That could be a case. Maybe we should do some numbers on that one and see what that number looks like. So let's take that in there. Let's say, hypothetically, that you have – this was a number about a year ago. So let's look – a year ago, the Freddie Mac number was 3.91%. Nobody gets 3.91. So I'm going to call it a 4% – rate back then, and you had mortgage and you have that home equity line of credit in there, so we'll have to look at that. Yeah, we got a bunch of numbers and we might have to save this till we come back from the break. We'll talk about restructuring your home loan, maybe increasing the interest rate to save you money. We'll talk about it. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, reverse mortgage myths. Another one of those reports scaring people. We'll set the record straight. You can reach the time. Call the off-air number, 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio. On Twitter, @ronsiegel. And if you missed part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message as your consumer advocate. We'll be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you are ready for that next mortgage, give them a call. I'll put you in touch with the right folks over there. They'll be glad to give you a hand with the whole process. Oh, I hate when we have these conversations all the time. The thought again, another one of these companies coming out with very misleading information about the home equity conversion mortgage, the reverse mortgage. Hear this conversation all the time. That's why I have Jay Kaplan come in here. I'm doing a couple seminars coming up. You don't want to miss those. If you're not on our mailing list to get the information on seminars, make sure you give me a call at 800-306-1990. Drop me an email, ron at ronsiegelradio.com. So I was looking at this article. It was on Yahoo Finance over the weekend, and it talks about a reverse mortgage being expensive. Closing costs, lender fees, mortgage insurance, upfront fees, and then the one that gets me all the time. 2015 report from the CFPB said potential risk of reverse mortgages, namely that you can lose your home, mean they're not always the right choice. Now, nothing is always the right choice. We spoke about that in the last segment. But lose your home? Well, how do you lose your home with a reverse mortgage? Real simple. It's the exact same way that you lose your home with a forward mortgage or absolutely no mortgage. Stop paying your property taxes. Yes, you can lose your home if you don't pay property taxes. Stop maintaining the insurance. Now, you don't necessarily need insurance, but if something happens, then you can really lose your home if you don't have insurance. But on the FHA reverse mortgage, they do require insurance. And the property needs to remain safe. You got to maintain, do the maintenance. That's how you can lose a property with a reverse mortgage. Does that sound like something that you need to be worried about? Now, what they don't mention in here, and they talk about the high costs involved. Well, maybe if you're going to the wrong places, the high costs might be an issue. But you talk to somebody like Jay Kaplan, and you don't have an issue with high costs because he absorbs almost all of them. The lender fees, he covers that. Now, there's certain ones that he probably can't cover, but in many instances, he even covers those. Appraisal fees doesn't go to them. Title insurance doesn't go to him. If you don't need the money, you're going to have the initial mortgage insurance. But I love it when the CFPB comes out and says the high costs, yet they are the one that adds on a 2.5% for the FHA, 2.5% initial mortgage insurance premium based on the value. Now, above and beyond that, there really aren't a whole lot of costs, because most of them can be absorbed by the right individual doing the loan for you. Then you look at the other side of it and say, okay, if I have not taken any money, what is, and I recommend this, there's a lot of reasons. Jay will talk to you about it more in depth. But always, almost always, if you're using it for purchase money, maybe not. But if you're refinancing to do a reverse mortgage, you want to use the adjustable rate program. And I know that I talk to a lot of seniors and just those words scare the heck out of them. I'll never do an adjustable rate. Well, if you get educated properly, you might change your mind because it gets you more money. And yes, the interest rate might go up, but so will your appreciation. And yes, the interest rate might go up, but you don't have to pay it. It's going to come out of the proceeds of the property if and when you decide to sell the property or when your heirs decide to sell the property. So it's not like it's an issue. It is accruing, but there are benefits. And when it does accrue, it's also going to accrue to a point where somebody's going to be able to take a tax advantage at some point. Consult with your tax planner for that information. But think about these concepts. Sit down and get all the information you need. Again, if you want, bring you and your kids, your family. Come out and see Jay at the upcoming, there's different seminars that's coming up that he's doing, and he'll share all the information. I've talked to this, a lot of people. I understand this product fairly well. I've helped some people very close to me get the program for them. So I did a lot of due diligence on it. So now I'm going to go back. That is the Mortgage Minute, again, brought to you by our friends over at Gold Star Mortgage. We'll go back and start continue our conversation. I was talking about the idea of getting rid of that home equity line of credit. And during the break, I ran some numbers. I just pulled up a scenario of somebody that we consulted with about a year ago on buying a house. And they did exactly what I was the rabbit trail I was heading down. They bought a house, used a home equity line of credit, and they did not end up needing mortgage insurance. So I pulled up some numbers, and being that you don't know who they are, I can use these exact numbers and share with you exactly what their program looks like. So again, they did this about a year ago. They got a new first mortgage at $357,000. 3.875% was the interest rate on their mortgage statement. Again, I'm educating here. I'm not throwing in all the APRs, although when you see in a minute, there may not be any APRs to even worry about. The rate might be the same as the APR. But think about this. Here we go. $357,000 at 3.875. Their payment is $1,678.75. They have a $72,000 home equity line of credit. Their payment on that is $441 a month. They're paying $2,120 a month on their combined program. And remember, the home equity line of credit is not amortizing. It's not drop at all. Right? So when we look at that, now we go and we say, okay, their blended interest rate, when you take the 3.875 and the 5.49, blended interest rate is 4.15, blending and weighting. Now, based on their situation, to do an absolutely no-cost loan, looking at a 3.875% interest rate today. So their payments will go from $2,120, principal interest only, the taxes and insurance, whether they stay where they are, or whether they go some, you know, or restructure, don't change. But their payment is going to drop by $103 a month. $103 a month. Is it worth it? Well, there's no risk on a 30-year fixed-rate loan. Your payment stays the same. You don't have to worry about what the Fed's going to do, because at some point in time, the Fed will raise interest rates. I don't know when, but they will raise interest rates. At some point in time, the first rate mortgages are going to go up. At some point in time, they're going to have to start making payments full of that $72,000 home equity line of credit. So if all of those things are true, and they are, I mean, it's a given. Interest can't stay this low forever. The Fed's already talking about raising interest rates. They want to raise interest rates. They've got to do it for two reasons. Number one, it's economics. Number two, it's to save face. So they're going to raise them. And here you take out the uncertainty of your family's household budget. And $103 a month, maybe it's not a lot of money. But I'd rather have it than have the bank or the investors have it, wouldn't you? Think about the next step of that, $103 a month. And I'll just do it real quick here, times a 360-month, 30-year loan. So you're talking about $37,000, and it doesn't cost anything to do it. Now, if you can trade zero, if I would say to you, you know, if you'll give me nothing, I'll give you a $100 bill. Would you say no? Now, I got to scratch. I got to think about this a little bit, Ron. I'm not sure I want to do something like that. Sometimes you can, what is that story? You can lead a horse to water. Just a thought process right there. I'd like to share the information with you. Now, the same concept works. When I talk to folks about the idea here of doing a debt consolidation loan, interest rates are phenomenal right now. That's a given. That's a fact. If you're paying 10, 15, 20, 30% interest on credit cards, and you've got a bunch of equity in your property, and you can convert that into a 3, 4, 4.5% loan, why wouldn't do it? Maybe you've had a baby recently and you want to add another bedroom, and you can take money out of your property to do that. That is your money. That is your equity. Take it. Use it. Don't spend on a car or on a boat. But if you use it to enhance your property, you're going to get that much more appreciation down the road. And if you go to sell or refinance to buy another piece of property to reinvest, you're going to be far better off. That's the idea of financial planning, using a mortgage. I've taught this course many, many times, retiring on $18,000 a month with no 401k, no IRA, using mortgage planning. It's easy to do. Maybe we'll do that again one of these days soon. But we do ask you to set that first radio preset button, to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio. We only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to Steve, who's engineering us today. And, of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect us on Facebook. And remember, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.